Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right, Zach Bine, Philip Lindsay are sliding in. And by the way, Laker Dane is still tweeting in. He said he's keeping my receipts for this conversation.
I hope he does. I hope he does, though.
Because Stokes, you ain't got no tattoos.
None. Zero.
That's hard to believe.
Really?
And you played in the NFL.
Yeah, no, this thing
from
is
Louisiana.
Peyton probably has one tattoo somewhere.
This thing, no, he definitely doesn't. this body's clean.
He's got the state of Louisiana tattooed on his inner thigh.
I've seen it.
Lower back.
You're supposed to keep that down low. On the low, low. Come on.
Zach, you don't have tattoos either, huh?
I have a few on my back.
He's got one upper and one lower.
Yeah. A butterfly, right? Yeah. Butterfly on the back.
Butterfly lower.
On the lower back.
And then like a falcon on the upper half there.
I got a couple, but man, you going over your tattoos, listening in the car on the way in, like you've made a mockery of your body.
Taco Bell?
That's my body.
No, you do it. Hey, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Okay. My body, my choice.
Yeah, you're right, buddy. They were all
you know, said you got a magazine.
Stories.
You said you got a magazine cover?
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Thrasher magazine? What is that?
Skateboarding magazine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a soda? You got a soda pop?
Yeah, Big Red Soda.
You got a taco?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. So you love Taco Bell.
That is hilarious.
Love it. Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson.
I got Bart Simpson on my body.
Oh, Josh, that is freaking hysterical, dude.
Are you done? Are you done? Who knows?
I see some places that you could put some.
Let's see how crazy Friday night gets.
I at opening day, had a guy had his whole hand done with the Nuggets championship run.
Oh, that's sick.
And he had a sleeve end like 2/3 of the way down his arm. And he said, "I'm leaving the space between my wrist and my sleeve for the repeat."
Oh, on the line.
Damn. I thought you were about to say he was leaving that space for the Rockies. No. Like that thing is never going to have ink on it.
Never going to be inked in.
The repeat. Okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
You guys doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing good.
All right, man.
Not much going on tonight.
It's a slow sports evening.
Yeah.
3 days in a row.
The Avs game, and it is meaningless. Well, not for him. But.
Yeah.
Need to get to overtime at least. And looks like Edmonton might be resting a couple guys.
Is that right?
I think last I heard, but they played last night, so they're on a back-to-back, so hopefully that is the case. We'll see. It looks like all the guys for the Avs are playing except for Georgie, which to me, like, that's red flags all over the place because his last two games haven't been very good.
Not his last two, his last five.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, and they've lost, 4 out of 5 down the stretch here.
But the one that they won, that was Anunin against Minnesota?
Yeah.
And that's right.
Yeah. So the fact that he is not in net tonight, right? Like everyone else, McKinnon's playing.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't the guy that we are going to be counting on night in and night out to try to win another cup, why is that guy not playing tonight, especially when he's been struggling like he's been struggling? Like, that seems like this is a get-right game. Let's get your confidence up here, buddy. Pat
we
on the back
about
here. And get him in the lineup to play tonight and hopefully play well and have that confidence into the postseason.
So we had this conversation yesterday. What has more upside versus downside? If you send him out there one more time in a meaningless game and you see a repeat of the last 5 games before it's all on the line, or he plays, you know, well in a game that doesn't matter against a team that could be resting guys. And we said what we thought is the downside of him getting his head kicked in again right before the playoffs start. I'd almost just rather not see him. And it sounds like maybe Bednar has that approach one more game for Anunin because we haven't seen him since that Minnesota game to give him one more tune-up. It's a bad situation, so there's no...
I look at
right
it
answer
different.
Right now.
Put him in the lineup. I mean, this isn't intramurals. Like, dude, let's go. Like, we're going to need you in a pressure situation. If you can't handle it right now, then I need to know early on.
Sure.
And then we'll get Anunin ready.
Sure.
And then you won't be able to handle it in a week. I can promise you that. Or you won't be able to handle it in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Like, come on, man. Like, this is big boy hockey here.
Yeah.
And at some point, if I'm worried about your confidence right now, if it's not already shot, like, what is one more ass-whipping going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you've been awful. And so it's like, dude, he's probably at the bottom now. I want to try to build his confidence up.
Yeah.
But are you really building it up against a team that's resting everybody? Even if he does a shout-out versus a team that doesn't have their stars in there.
I mean,
are we going to be sitting here happy about it? Are we going to be like, oh, he's back?
I think you still get confidence from that.
Yeah, right? Just, so? If you get in there, so. Just play well. It's like, all right,
I don't know.
At least I played well. I don't know. I that's just what I heard. I mean, they might be playing. I thought I saw a couple guys that weren't going to be playing.
Sammy
in there.
G, I think he's the only one.
No, for Edmonton.
Oh, for Edmonton. Yeah.
But even if you just go out there and play well, like, you know, hey, the one or two times when I was struggling in football, you know, not that many. But like, I didn't care if I was going to get scout team or going to get Champ Bailey.
Right, sure.
If I could just catch the ball and get open and feel good about a practice, then
it's about doing what you know you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then I felt better about myself moving forward. We'll see. To me, it almost signals too that, man, that leash is shorter than I thought it was going to be.
Agreed.
In the playoffs.
And that's why when we spoke here yesterday, I said you're going to see Anunoby.
Yeah.
You're going to see him
in the playoffs.
Yes. This first round, you can book it. These are Georgie's last five games. Check this out. Last game of the year, blew a 3-goal lead in the third period. You lose in overtime. With some bitty ball goals in there. You lose 7-0 against Winnipeg when you got pulled after the first 15 minutes of the game. Didn't even make it to the first intermission.
Got pulled.
Game before that, gets pulled against Dallas, and he gives up. That was when they lost 7-4. Oh, no, he didn't get pulled. He actually finished that game. That was an empty netter, so he gave up 6. The game before that, he gave up 6. The game before that, he was pulled after 20 minutes, and the Avs came back and won with Anunoby.
Wow.
Those are the last 5 games for Georgiev heading into the playoffs.
So he's gotten pulled or given up 4 or more goals.
Correct.
Georgiev gotten pulled
correct.
More than somebody wow. I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Gets wow. pulled.
Yeah, it's bad, man. I mean, this is bad. You can't, no one can convince me of this.
I'm more on that side because we had talked about it, too, about him being so fragile. I'm more on that side of, like, you bring him in tonight and he fails. You can't go with him in the postseason.
Yeah.
Certainly not game one. I think that gives you a heads up. Like, okay, perfect.
Oh, so you're saving yourself?
Yeah,
so
like,
now
perfect.
We know. Let's just go with our backup.
Yeah, we're just going to go with Anunoby. Well, this guy can't handle the pressure. He can't handle the heat. Look how he's been playing.
Yeah.
Let's see what it looks like with Anunoby. And you just roll with that guy. And the other thing is, don't forget what Bednar said about him a week or so ago. He's like, hey, you know, yeah, at a certain point, though, yeah, he's making these routine saves. Georgie, but like he's got to step up and make a few clutch ones,
yeah.
A couple big time ones,
yeah.
And that's what you're not seeing from him. And so, like, you start putting these clues together, and it's like, ooh, doesn't make
why,
me feel
why
good
I
about
asked
that.
The question because of that. I asked the question of Bednar, like, how much say did Bednar have of keeping Georgiev before the trade deadline? Right. Well, I know we needed a center. We end up getting Sean Walker, but did Bednar stand on the table and say, you know what? I think we can still win with Georgie, and I don't think that we need to really necessarily worry about the goalie situation. And that's why Bednar's kind of, if you notice, every time you ask about Georgiev, Bednar's saying, I think he played okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's all on Georgiev. Well, that seems like a coach that kind of stood on the table for a player that he's going to continue to give chances to and save him if he can.
Yeah.
I'm going to save him for this last game, make sure he doesn't mess up, because I need him ready for these playoffs.
I mean, I can certainly see that. I look at it more of almost what we were just talking about of he knows he's so delicate that you either, like, you have to, you can't give him constructive criticism. You always have to be pumping him up.
When someone's down, you want to build him up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, especially if you think you're going to have to count on that guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he knows. At some point, you're going to have to count on him. And he's already down. You know, his confidence is low.
So what's good?
So as a coach, you know, when they ask you, you want to try to pump him up as much as possible. I think that's a
and that's what we're trying to determine yesterday. It's like, is he playing psychiatrist through the media to build him up, or did they have a real decision to make at the trade deadline? Where do we put our most resources? Second line center or goaltending? Mm. And at the time, Georgie was playing better. And could Bednar have said, we need a second line center? They do it. Now the goaltender's not playing well. You know, we don't know what those conversations sound like. But here's the thing with Anunoby. This guy didn't even start the season as the backup.
No.
This guy was
Prosbatov.
Yeah. It was Ivan Prosbatov.
Talking about Prosbatov.
You know how many games that this guy has played ever in the NHL? Anunoby.
Oh, no.
17.
Wow.
13 this year. So it's like this guy's got a backup quarterback mystery factor. We know the other guy's not good, but are we talking to ourselves and this could be better just because we haven't seen him suck? Because he started the year as your third string. And you can go do it. We saw Vegas last year win with, you know, a backup. I think a third string. I don't know. I'm very concerned. Let me ask you this: if you could rub a lamp, and a blue genie came out,
$100 million.
No, no, no. I give you the choices. Oh. I give you the choices.
You don't get to have money, buddy.
Josh, do you have a blue genie tattooed on you anywhere?
I will.
Okay.
If you could say, hey, genie, one of two wishes come true. The Avs get the 17th best goaltender in the NHL. Drop in for the playoffs. Or you get Gabe Landeskog back.
Oh.
For the run, what would it be?
Fully healthy.
Oh, he's fully healthy?
Yeah,
fully healthy.
Fully healthy.
Well, Gabe.
Give me the goalie, because that 17th best, I don't know what the stats look like right now, but it's probably a lot better than what we have. And I've seen our offense. I saw us just win 9 games in a row 3 weeks ago. So if we just have a competent goaltender that sometimes plays a little bit over his head, this team now can win those 2-1 games.
I don't know the answer to the question. I'll ask Phil later. But, like, we saw the Avs win a cup with just competent goaltending. This situation, it's not competent. His rank, Georgie's rank in goals against and save percentage is a higher number than teams in the league.
Whoa.
So, like, when you're talking about your save percentage is 36, there ain't 36 teams in the NHL.
Oh.
When you're talking about goals against average and you're 39th,
backup
and there's not 30.
You're better than him.
You know what I'm saying?
We're bringing backups into
the conversation. So that's why I said if you just took a goalie that's just a tick below average, the 17th, who would you rather have, him or a healthy Gabe Landeskog? I think it's a fun question.
That is.
And it kind of divides a room just like it divided you guys. So, all right, thanks for sticking around. We are off and rolling here on a Thursday. And earlier today, we heard Sean Payton and George Payton just 7 days ahead of the NFL draft. That's where we'll start coming up next. Off and rolling on a Thursday in what is going to be an extremely busy week from this point moving forward, but not necessarily tonight. It's going to be a rather slow night in sports, Phil.
Tumbleweeds. You know, you're walking down that dirt road, a tumbleweed comes flying by. Yeah, it's that kind of night, man.
It's that kind of night, but it's not going to be that kind of week. It's going to be like a twister type of week with the NFL draft 1 week from today. That, I mean, we are here. We are on the doorstep of this thing. Sean Payton and George Payton making themselves available earlier today. One of the few times a year where we get to hear from the general manager in addition to the coach. And in the past, if you remember, in the limited time that these guys have been together, we hear from Sean, and then we'll hear from George. Today, they were sitting directly next to each other doing the press conference jointly. And I will tell you, one of my bigger takeaways from the press conference is not actually anything that was said specifically. It is more of a human element between Sean Payton and George Payton that they are clearly the... some of the frustrations that we have in George Payton and the position that the Broncos are in. Maybe Sean is aware of them. Maybe he's sensitive to them. But, boy, you can't tell when you watch them up there interacting together.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's a good sign for us because, honestly, you want the GM and the coach because George is still the GM right now, working together, having a plan together, doing things together so that we can get – the first pick that we have has to be a hit, right? Has to hit for
us.
You have to all have to have the agreement, all have to be on the same page, the same mindset, same thinking at this time. So that's something that we have to appreciate when you're looking at both of them on the podium together. But we also know that sometimes a relationship's going on and you pretend like you're happy and
sure.
Behind closed doors, things are just not as happy as you're thinking they are. But let's be optimistic, baby.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I truly don't know what to make of it. I have been steadfast in voicing my frustrations with the George Payton's decision-making. And
as you should.
The hatchet wounds to this franchise with some of his decision-makings as general manager. But you want to know what? Sean is the general manager.
Yep.
I have to get that through my head. And George... It feels like mostly is playing by Sean's rules. George is a highly thought of talent evaluator. nothing's going to happen from a general manager perspective moving forward that Sean's not going to clear. And I think I may have to get it through my own head that George Payton isn't going anywhere. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right. Like, we don't see inside the house. Maybe after the draft, they'll make a move. But it was interesting to see those two from just a human standpoint. Like, at one point, Phil, at the start of the press conference, George, like, jumped in and interrupted a response from Sean.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that was, like, my first impression. I was like, whoa, if you're walking on eggshells around someone every single day, that's probably not something you do. You interrupt someone when you're comfortable with them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're comfortable or you just don't care anymore. You know, there's two ways to think of it. I mean, let's go the optimistic way, like I've said, and they've mended a relationship, and they let the past be the past, even though for me it's like the past is always going to be there because the scars are going to always be there to look at and say, okay, why was that a scar?
Yes.
Because of what happened in the past.
Yes.
And you can never forget about what happened in the past. But maybe Sean has a change of heart. You know, maybe he isn't the Grinch.
Well, and maybe just George is just again, like, playing by his rules and just being a resource for Sean, not a decision maker with Sean.
Yeah.
He's just a resource with a general manager title. So we'll see how it all ages, man. We'll see how it all unfolds. A lot of interesting stuff was said today. But George Payton was asked about trading future first round picks and moving up in the draft.
Yeah, I would just say if it's a player you think can change the landscape of your organization moving forward, like a quarterback, then you do whatever you take to get him. And if there's a consensus in the building, a love in the building, and you're aggressive and you try to get him, doesn't mean you're going to get him, but you try. And so we're open to everything. We're wide open.
We're wide open. Mm. And if you think that guy can change the landscape of your franchise, you go get him. And, boy, it's exciting. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. And I don't know if they know what they're going to do yet. I don't know if they know.
See, I think they know what they're going to do. But he says something in there saying, even though we go out there and we're going to try and go and get it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. They're going to try to move up. They really are. I think they know in their head what we want to do is we're going to move up. But if we don't get what we want and we can't move up, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, okay, do you guys have that plan B? Do you guys know what you're doing with that situation? Because the whole situation for them probably right now is we are going to move up. We're going to at least try to.
And you would think that would be for JJ? Or do you think it's someone else?
No, I it has to be for someone like JJ. Maybe Drake May, Jaden Daniels if he falls. It has to be one of the top four quarterbacks that have kind of been floating around here this whole time. You know, you the thing about rumors is, and like JJ McCarthy has been in the rumors for a very long time, it starts to be true after some time. The smoke ends up being a real life fire, right? And so for that, you have to kind of trust what they're doing, trust what they're saying, and if they're going to move up, it's probably for JJ McCarthy.
We shall see. We shall see. And if that's what it is, you have to make sure you can't make the move. If it's JJ, you can't make the move before draft night. Mm. If they are head over heels with one quarterback and it's JJ McCarthy, you can't move up right now. You have to wait and get a contingent plan in place that if JJ falls, we're striking, but it's going to be in the moment of the first round. Because if they do it beforehand, that would tell me they're okay with drafting multiple human beings because we're not sure what the Patriots are going to do.
Yeah.
We're not sure what, ultimately Arizona is going to do.
And you don't want to show your hand too fast. Like, think about it. The Minnesota Vikings, everybody knows they're trying to move up. Okay, they went there, they traded, got two firsts for this year. Why? Because they're trying to move up in the draft to get who they want. So if the Denver Broncos go and do something like that, we know that they're trading up to get it. And now other teams are alerted from it. And now they're like, you know what? We may want to get up and jump them now. It's like sometimes it's best not to show your hand too fast, knowing that this is a slow process. Even during the draft, even when the draft is going on, there's going to be things going down and moving parts going on. So it's like, let's slow play things and attack and hit at the right time.
Well, we'll see. We don't have to wait much longer. It's 1 week from today. I can't wait. I'm fascinated by it. It's going to be on the same night as a matchup with the Lakers, which do you like it? Do you like it all in one night, or would you like it separated?
You know, of course I don't like it, Zach, but to be honest with you, having more on TV just excites me more. Like, okay, I'm going to be – the draft is so long. And your team may not even be there for 20, 30, 40 minutes, if not for that whole day. So being able to go kind of back and forth, and then when the draft is done, you turn it and just watch some nice basketball, the Denver Nuggets. Like, I love that. I love it. You know, now, is it something that I would have wanted to happen? No. I would have had the draft Thursday and the game Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
But to have both of them, we're spoiled.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's other things to complain about than the NFL draft and a Denver Nuggets-Lakers game on the same night, that's for sure. Okay, good stuff. We'll circle back to some of the stuff that was said in that press conference at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, we have a proposed trade for the Denver Broncos on night one of the draft that would both sting and soothe at the same time. And I'll tell you why coming up next. We have a proposed trade for the Broncos on night one of the draft that would sting.
Oh, Lord.
And soothe.
Ooh. Sour, sweet, sour patch, huh?
Kind of like that. Kind of like sweet, kind of sour. I'll tell you why in just a second. Before then, though, Fan Flyaway, presented by Sport Clips, is back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. Two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for you and a buddy, all right? Two nights hotel stay, and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, good news, you're already locked in the club and are entered into this one. It's real simple. Once you sign up, you're entered into all future Fan Flyaways. It costs absolutely nothing. The downside is literally zero. The upside is the memory of a lifetime. Okay, Mr. Philip Lindsay, how are you, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing great, man. Although it's a little gloomy out there, and I kind of go how the weather goes.
I'm not letting you do that.
Oh, no. No, not... I can't, you know, I want to at times, I just can't.
I go how the weather goes. If it's cloudy, it hurts my soul. Like Eeyore.
Oh
poor me.
Okay, Piglet.
Dude, we have it so good here. Yo, Phil, when I tell you, it is this for three straight months in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Like, and that's supposed to be spring. It'll just dump right. I mean, it's so.
So you're calloused.
A little bit.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, like Sunday, dude, it's going to be in the 70s. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be nicer tomorrow. So we're going to be just fine. I'm going to be your sunshine today.
Okay? Oh, Lord.
All right. We have a proposed trade for the Broncos on night one of the draft.
Let's get it.
Both sting and soothe. Sting because you're saying goodbye to your best football player. It would soothe because you'd be getting quite a load in return if you listen to ESPN's Bill Barnwell. He's a really smart guy, not a hot take guy. All right. He's pretty measured. He's more informational than big opinions. And once a year, he does this really fun exercise where he goes to every single team in the first round and does an all trade mock draft. So it's a trade candidate for every single team picking in the first round. And in this scenario, he's got one for Pat Surtain doing a trade with the Los Angeles Rams. All right.
The Rams.
Do you realize the Rams have not used a first round pick? It's 2024. They have not used a first round pick since 2016, Phil, when they drafted Jared Goff.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
No, it is. I mean, it speaks volume, too, that they have done a great job. A great job for their young talent, evaluating young talent, and also picking up free agents, you know, and having the money at the time to pick up some big-time free agents.
Yeah, they've done a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But the trend that is so real, and Barnwell notes it, that they have been willing, philosophically, to trade first-round picks for unknown college prospects in exchange for young, proven talent that are still cost-controlled on deals.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll go through some of them here in a second. But in this scenario, Bill Barnwell has the Broncos trading Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick in 2 years. So a fifth-round pick 2 years from now and Pat Surtain. You want to know what the Broncos get? They get the 19th overall pick in the draft. So now you have two first-round picks.
A 12 and a 19.
Yep, exactly. And according to Bill Barnwell of ESPN, in this scenario, you get their first-round pick next year too, and you also get the 99th pick in this year's draft. So let me just repeat that. You get their 19th pick, you get next year's first-round pick from the Rams, and you get the 99th overall pick in the third round this year. So for this year, you would accumulate an additional first-round pick. You would accumulate an additional third-round pick and next year's first-round pick in exchange for Pat Surtain and a fifth-rounder in 2 years. Barnwell notes they haven't used one of those picks since 2016. And those picks, and this is his quote, those picks have generally gone toward young talent with cost control remaining in their deals, with Matthew Stafford as the one exception. They have used those picks to acquire Brandon Cooks and Jalen Ramsey, and they attempted to make another move for Brian Burns. In each case, they were targeting a young player who had already established himself as a star on a rookie contract, end quote. Would you do this deal?
Oh, 2 firsts this year and a third, which would stack us.
Yes. One's your own pick, but yeah, you'd get their first-round pick. So they're giving you two first-round picks this year and next year, plus a third-round pick.
And all we have to give up is Pat Surtain.
All in air quotes.
No, in a fifth.
Yeah. So it's hard, man.
I love my PS2, man.
Everyone does.
You know?
He's awesome.
And for sure. And it's just like the pros and cons of giving away a generational talent like that at the cornerback position, because in my eyes, the cornerback position is one of the hardest positions on the field. I think it's number two. It goes quarterback, cornerback. But we're in a rebuild. We're in a rebuild. We need these picks, all right? I don't know if I want to give Pastor Tan $100 million. So I may go ahead and do this trade, because in my head, I'm going to go get my quarterback. I'm going to go get my tight end. I'm going to try to find a way to get my tight end still. All right. And now we're kind of like playing with a little bit of grease now. Now we got grease to start that fire up.
Sure. So you do it.
I would do it.
You have to decide as a fan what in this scenario, what is a more powerful thing hitting your palate? The sting of saying goodbye or the soothing nature of reaccumulating draft picks in a way that the Broncos have not had in years, and a way that you could argue they've never needed more in the history of their NFL existence. Because you got a terrible cap situation, but you also don't have a lot of draft picks.
No, you don't.
It's not, and this is why I said to you a couple months ago, I think only the Panthers would trade places with the Denver Broncos right now. And Pat Surtain, for me, is not swinging the pendulum of whether an NFL team would trade places with the Broncos. It's just, it's an incredibly valuable position. I agree with you. I have it third on my list. And we can maybe go through what we think are the top five most impactful positions on a football field here in a little bit. But it would sting, no doubt. But if you're telling me I now have two picks in the first round, say they love Michael Penix or Bo Nix, you could get your quarterback and you could get Brock Bowers. And you're picking an additional in the top 100.
Yeah.
You get the 99th overall pick in the draft. So,
well, this is the thing, though, Zach. How many of these first-round picks pan out?
Let's say half. Let's say half.
So half. And you're getting two first-round picks that are on your team. Both of them are not going to probably pan out. One of them is going to end up being better than the other. Hopefully it's the quarterback if that's the case.
Right, sure.
So that's when you start to think you have a promising cornerback that's been in this league. He's seasoned. Okay, he has not played his best football just yet. You know, he has not peaked out just yet.
Agree with that, sure.
And so that's why we drafted people like that in the first place, just for us to give him up to go out here and try to put together another young man, build him back up, and maybe later on get rid of him. That's kind of what Denver has done in the past, though. Denver doesn't keep their own. Denver doesn't keep the people that they have groomed. And
what do you think of when you say that?
I think of a lot of people. I mean, we could say, Brock Osweiler being one of them. You know, Denver had him, groomed him up. We thought he was going to be the guy. They got rid of him. Let's say Shaq Barrett was one, right? Shaq Barrett, the year we let him go, he had the best year of his life.
That's true.
Who else would you say? Clinton Portis was one. You got Champ Bailey back with him. So I guess you can cancel that one out.
There are no, for me, like maybe someone could say like a Malik Jackson, who was a big part of the Super Bowl 50 team. They had to like kind of make a decision between him and Derek Wolfe.
Yeah.
Wolfe signed early on a team friendlier deal. You know, some fans wanted Malik instead. But I don't know, man.
Like, you want to risk.
Who out there, like there's
it's
no.
It's just to me, because, like, being in the building, Zach, and seeing some of these players come into the building, and they're these first and second round draft picks, and you find out that they're not good, it's the most irritating thing you possibly see and be around. Because it's like, literally, how are you getting drafted so high and you're not good? I'll give you an example. Noah Font. Where is he even with the Seattle Seahawks? He's not doing really these amazing things. He was drafted in the first round, what, fifth pick of the draft?
No. What he wasn't that high. No, he was like I want to say the 20th pick. He was a first rounder.
The 20th.
Yeah, he was a first rounder though.
Okay, but he's a first round draft pick. You know, you have to have your first rounds hit. You're drafting these players to start right away, and if you draft another, you have two of these first round draft picks, and you have two of them. You draft both of them. One of them pans out and the other one doesn't, and we give away someone like Pastor Tan, we're probably going to be upset.
Why? I just pulled up his stats. He didn't have a touchdown this year.
Oh, he didn't?
Noah, no.
Ooh.
He did not have a touchdown. Played every single game. Damn. RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Would you do this deal that Bill Barnwell laid out? All right, and give a brief explanation why. And throw your name on it. We'll give you a shout-out. Would you trade Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick 2 years from now in exchange for the 19th overall pick, next year's Rams first-round pick, in addition to the 99th overall pick in the third round this year? Curious what you guys make of that. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. The Nuggets begin their rematch with the Lakers 3 days from now. And I have a question pertaining to this season's biggest question mark. And that's coming up next. All right, I am going to read some of these responses here in just a few minutes. The reaction to would you do the deal that ESPN Bill Barnwell laid out in a trade with the Rams involving Pat Surtain on draft night 7 days from now. Would you do that deal? Would you trade Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick in 2026? In exchange for the 19th overall pick this year, the Rams' first-round pick next year, and the 99th overall pick in the draft this year. Hit us up, RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We will read some of those responses here in a few minutes. But in the meantime, the Nuggets begin their rematch with the Lakers in about 72 hours. We're here.
We have arrived.
And I will be in the building on Saturday night.
Oh.
I'll be at Ball Arena. Can't wait to come in here on Monday, deliver a firsthand account, and then there's another game on Monday night. Like, dude, it's going to be... I cannot wait. But I have a question pertaining to this season's biggest question mark. If I asked you that with a blank slate, what do you think the biggest question mark with the Denver Nuggets has been this season?
That's tough, man. They've been good. I mean, 57 games this year. It's hard to sit here and say they have a weak spot. But if I had to say their weak spot, it would be their bench.
Agreed.
Their bench. You know, their bench is just not seasoned enough. You know, there's nobody on that bench that I'm just like, that's Bruce Brown. And maybe somebody's going to create themselves into someone like Bruce Brown. This is what this is for.
Sure.
Especially because they're so young. Peyton Watson's, the Christian Browns. This is their time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. The biggest question mark with the team this year, in addition to like the umbrella that's over everything, is the health of the team. Because we waited 2 years for this team to get healthy.
And they're really healthy, though.
They really are. Like, all things considered.
Scary.
Really, like, it's almost like the Broncos. Remember this year, it'd be like week 15, be like, wait, the entire starting offense pretty much was healthy. And here they are. This is who they played with on night one against the Lakers on banner night. But it has been the bench. That has been the biggest question mark for the team this year. And the question I have for you is, who do you... If you were to bet on one guy to be the bench MVP in this, what we hope is a title run, who would you put your chips on And it's really between three guys. It's Christian Brown, it's Peyton Watson, and it's Reggie Jackson.
Okay. That's what I figured. What's interesting is Jake yesterday, when we were talking with him, said that Christian Brown and Peyton Watson were going to get a heavy load, but he didn't mention Reggie Jackson a lot. So that was interesting.
I think Reggie's going to play.
I think so, too.
Yeah. You know, I think Reggie's going to play.
He's played a lot this year. I'm throwing my chips down on Christian Brown. He's 1-1 with them last year. He's having some of the best ball he's playing right now.
Right now.
Is right now.
No, you're right.
He has some confidence. They trust him. His teammates trust him. Peyton Watson's going to come up big, but it's just not his time yet. It has to be Christian Brown.
Ultimately, I think that is the right answer from where we sit right now. From where we sit. And it can change. And by the way, I think it's going to change on a night-to-night basis. And I was talking about this to myself kind of on the Mile High Hoops podcast. I think that each of these guys is going to have a huge moment in the sun. Huge.
I like it.
Huge. And I think there's going to be, for each guy, Reggie, Peyton Watson, and Christian Brown, I think we're going to come in here on certain days and say, the Denver Nuggets don't win that game last night without Peyton Watson. Do you remember those 3 minutes where he was just everywhere and took over and ball the arena was
block
like
shots and energy and all that. Yeah.
Running the floor, blocking a shot at this end, running the floor, dunking it at the other, knocking down a corner three maybe. I think each guy, including Reggie, is going to have a moment. But I think ultimately your answer is the right one. It's Christian Brown. And I love the point about like the current temperature of Christian Brown. This dude, after some frustrating months, this last like whatever it's been, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, it's been his best basketball of the season. And I think it's because I've been using the same word with the bench and Christian specifically, narrowed. Narrowed minutes.
For sure.
And narrowed focus. And when you are not playing big minutes and you know it's a big game, there's no time for you to explore your game.
No, think about things. You just kind of play your game, play it to the best of your ability. The only thing I always think of sometimes when you have minimal minutes out there is one, you want to try to take advantage of your minutes, but also you can still at times do too much because you want to get some shots in there. You want to play some good defense. You want to have a couple assists, and you're just not going to get that many minutes to do all those things. I just hope, and I don't think Christian Brown's going to be like that because he's been there. I think he's just going to play his role and do what he does best. Peyton Watson's the one I at times kind of like, what are you going to do, Peyton? Are you going to just stick to the game plan, or are you going to kind of do your own thing because you want your moment so bad? That's the one player I kind of wonder what's going to happen at times.
Yeah, there's less of a trust factor because there's less of a sample size.
For sure.
So ultimately, I agree. And I've been saying the same thing to you for quite a while. You get in the playoffs, Peyton Watson's leash might be one link long. Mm. Where if things aren't going right, it's like, Justin Holiday, you're actually going to play tonight. Whoa, yep, you could see it. You know how many points? Come on, Jay, you okay if I put you on the spot?
Yeah, go for it.
How many points do you think Christian Brown scored in the Western Conference Finals last year against the Lakers team we're going to see in the first round?
If I had to say, I'd say a total of 15 points.
Zero. Didn't score a single point in the Western Conference Finals. In one game, he never hit the scorer's table to check in. Not saying that to really say anything definitively, but let's know the landscape of the matchup. And he was a rookie last year. Now he's not a rookie.
He was a rookie.
But we'll see for this series, we could see the Nuggets go from right hand to southpaw series by series with who gets their opportunity.
Well, let me piggyback off that and ask both you guys. Who do you think has the shortest leash coming off the bench?
Hands down, Peyton Watson.
Peyton Watson.
Hands down.
I agree.
He loves Reggie Jackson.
Veteran.
Malone loves Reggie Jackson.
Yep.
Peyton Watson has not done anything like Reggie Jackson and Christian Brown have done yet, okay? And that's just be there and experience.
Yeah.
Right? That's just, at times, you know, youth can be used against you when you don't have enough experience.
Sure, sure. You know how many minutes total he played in the series?
Against the Lakers.
20. So you were closer to his points that actually relates to his minutes than you were actually his points. I'm not saying that to say any one thing specifically, but that was the dynamic last year. The dynamics change. I'm fascinated to see Christian Brown, his impact in this first round with this matchup specifically.
You know what I'm more fascinated about? I'm fascinated about what Malone comes rolling out there with rotation-wise with Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. Who else is going to be playing with them while Jokic is not on the court, right?
Yep.
Is it going to be Jamal Murray? Is it going to be MPJ? Do they leave Aaron Gordon out there? KCP, I want to see the matchups and how well they mesh together with the young bench units.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Not a great historical matchup for Aaron Gordon specifically either. Just one time last year in the Western Finals, he scored more than, I believe, 12.
Mm.
So we still have plenty of time. Tomorrow we'll take a deep, deep dive into all things matchup between Lakers and Denver. But we checked that box early here in hour number one on a Thursday. As we shift gears, the NFL draft is officially 1 week from today. Sean Payton, George Payton, Brothers Payton, they spoke earlier today. What were some of our biggest takeaways? We'll play some audio and react to it coming up next.